الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار ربنا إن الناس سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر فاغفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد فاستجاب لهم ربهم أني لا أضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر أو أنثى بعضكم من بعض فالذين هاجروا وأخرجوا من ديارهم وأوذوا في سبيلي وقاتلوا وقتلوا لأكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولأدخلنهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ثوابا من عند الله ثوابا من عند الله والله عنده حسن الثواب صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات
The overview of the translation very quickly within a minute or two at the most. In these verses that we just recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those individuals who constantly are in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where he says there are people who are in remembrance of Allah as they are standing up, sitting down, and laying down. And those people who ponder and contemplate about the creation, where they say, Oh Lord, You did not create all this creation in vain. It means it has definitely a purpose into it. And there are some prayers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the human beings. Where it says, Oh Lord, we heard someone is calling for faith to an aminu bi rabbikum, so you may have faith in your Lord and ask we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاغْفَلْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا And O Lord, pardon our sins and forgive our sins. And at the last ayah that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Indeed, Allah is the one who accepts the calls and the supplication of people. And He will never have anybody's deed to go in vain. From men or women, or male and female. And in this verse also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the ones who do hijra. They migrate to a place and they struggle. And sometimes they get martyred. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are going to be rewarded one of the greatest of rewards. Please recite the loud salawat. So help me to invite our honorable Sayyid Ja'far al-Qazwini to the podium. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, Muhammad, I forgot. When you have a lot of things in your mind, that's what happened. Either this or I'm getting too old. Please, Muhammad, come on over for your beautiful speeches. For his health and your health, please recite the loud salawat.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته The topic I'm presenting tonight is the lust for power and its effect on mankind. Now, we have always known throughout history that power affects a person. That when a person is given immense power, all of a sudden they start acting very differently. But now we have science to prove to go along with that. According to NPR, on August 10th, 2013, in an article called When Power Goes to Your Head, It May Shut Out Your Heart, a professor by the name of Sukhvinder Obi, a neuroscientist actually, at Wolfrid Laurier University in Ontario, Canada. He found a unique effect called the mirror system. And what was the mirror system? The mirror system basically stated that when we see another human being committing an action, for example, whether it's drinking water or drinking coffee or walking or whatever, our brain the neurons in our brain react the same way as if we were doing that action. For example, we see somebody running, and our neurons in our brain send signals that this person is running. They may be in a hurry. So we can predict what they're going to do depending on their actions. And in that same way, we empathize with people. For example, if we see somebody drinking a lot of water very quickly, we think, oh, they must be very thirsty. Or if we see somebody's a little bit lightheaded, we go, maybe they're hungry, because I've been in that situation before. And when I'm lightheaded, there's a couple of options that happen, right? But the experiment goes on to further explain that when people were powerless, they empathized more. The mirror system affected them even more. And when they were put in positions of power, the mirror system affected them less. They had less empathy because now they could not relate to a person. Think about it. During Ramadan, we are at our weakest point, right? We haven't had our caffeine in the morning. We haven't had any water to drink. We haven't had any food to eat, right? We have our headache. We're kind of dazed going out throughout the day. But we look around and we empathize with our fellow Muslims because they're all just as hungry as us, right? So when we're at our most powerless, we see that we empathize with everybody else. And to go along with that, according to a study done by some Columbia University business students, they found that people in positions of power were more likely to do risky actions, right? They would gamble more because they had more to lose, right? And they had more to gain at that same exact time. So they were more risky in their actions. They were more rash in their actions. They didn't really think about what they were doing before they did it. And according to another study by a group of Berkeley researchers, it found there was a scientific connection between being more powerful and being more of a jerk, right? They found that people that were driving more expensive cars, BMWs, Mercedes, Lamborghinis, Ferraris, were 30 times more likely to cut somebody off in traffic than somebody with a lower range of cars. And they were 7% more likely to not yield for pedestrians. And you know the phrase, it's like taking candy from a baby? Those same Berkeley researchers found out that people in power were more likely to take candy from a baby than people that were more powerless. When given the opportunity to take candy from a baby, they were more likely to do it than people that were less powerless, had less power than them. So this isn't something new, by the way. We've known about this for a while, right? Who were some of the most powerful tyrants? Yazid and Muawiyah, right? The Abbasids, right? And what did they do? Each one of them abused their power, whether their intentions were to abuse that power or not, right? Because when we look at the Abbasids, what did they say they were going to do with that power? When they first came into power, what was their motive? Their flagship line was, we want to get this power to give it back to who? To the Ahlul Bayt. But once they got that power, what happened? The power went to their head, right? The mirror system stopped working. Their empathy bottomed out. And of course, we see one of the most unique examples and one of the most horrific examples, the Stanford Prison Experiment. I don't know how many of you have heard of it, but if you ever take a sociology class in college, they tell you this was one of the most inhumane experiments in the history of the United States. They give it to you as an example of what not to do when you're experimenting, right? It was an experiment that was conducted by the US Navy and later on condemned by the US Navy because they wanted nothing to do with it, just like we see every single time the US Navy messes up. But anyways, it was a project conducted by the US Navy in which a group of 24 college students were taken. And they were split up into 12 prisoners and 12 prison guards. And it was done in the basement of the Stanford Psychology Building, right? So they split them up, and the whole point was that the guards were supposed to dehumanize the prisoners. So they did things as make them go naked so that they can dehumanize them. They had wooden batons that they would beat them with, right? And one part of this experiment was that there was a room in which the warden, who was the head of the experiment, the quote-unquote warden, would tell the police in charge, or the guards in charge, he would tell them that on the other side is a prisoner sitting in an electric chair, and I want you to press this button to electrocute them. And at first they wouldn't do it, and he would start yelling at them, I want you to electrocute them. They wouldn't do it again and again and again until they succumbed. And eventually, after doing it multiple times, they saw that the empathy went away. that no matter how many times they heard the prisoners screaming in pain, they continued to do it because they became desensitized to it, because they liked that rush of power when they pressed that button and when they heard the screams, right? Okay, so now we know what power does to a human being. How do we stop that power? Well, Imam Ali gives us a very clear way to stop from abusing that power. He tells us, remember that anger, cowardice, and greed may seem like three separate forms of wickedness, but they all stem from one area. They all stem from having no faith and no trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam here is directly telling us that as long as you hold tight to the rope of God, as long as you hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how much power you have, you will never stray from Allah's path. You will never become like those that came before you. What differentiates the second Shaykh from Imam Ali? What made the second Shaykh say, لَوْلَا عَلِيٌ لَهَلَكَ عُمَرٌ? What was it? It was that Ali ibn Abi Talib never forgot his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never let go of the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when he was given the whole Muslim empire in front of him, the Muslim empire at its strongest point, right? Even when he was given the whole Muslim empire in front of him, he never wavered. He never let that empathy flee from him. He never let that mirror system go away. He still felt empathy for the poorest of the poor, even when he was Amir al-Mu'mini. And then we look to Imam Ali al-Ridha. Imam Ali al-Ridha, who was made the crown prince of the Muslim empire when it was in its quote-unquote golden age. When you look at the Abbasid Caliphate, what is it called in the history books? It is called the Golden Age, the age of knowledge, right? The age where the Muslims discovered chemistry and algebra, right? Where the Muslims were doing these crazy things that nobody had done before. Where the Muslims were surpassing even Socrates in their knowledge. But he became the crown prince. He was almost given the keys to the empire. And did he let it go to his head? Never. He was still as humble as he was before. He never let that go to his head, no matter how powerful he got. So the lesson we learn here is, don't forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and power will never go to your head, no matter how successful you become in life, no matter how powerful you become in life. If you become a CEO of a Fortune 500 company with a million workers underneath you, as long as you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never abuse that power. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر الأهل مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much, Sayyid Muhammad, mashallah, for the beautiful, enlightening talk, as well as Haj Samir for the wonderful recitation of the Holy Quran. May Allah bless you all. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وآل محمد.
Last night we talked about the Khilafah on earth from Quranic perspective, and we said that the criterion for God appointing his deputy and vicegerent on the face of the planet was knowledge. It is based on knowledge that God chose Adam to be his vicegerent. And this khilafah, this position, is continuous from the time of appointment until the day of judgment. That was in regards to the Quranic statements. Tonight, we are focused on imamah, the highlights of imamah, in the words and commands of the Prophet, peace be upon him. The question, has ever the Prophet, peace be upon him, mentioned the Khilafah, the Khulafa, the vicegerents, the deputies, or a single deputy that would follow him, or he kept silent? He did not mention anything. Out of thousands upon thousands of narrations, if we search, did he ever care to talk about the succession and the deputy of him, or no, it was not really an important issue to him? When you look at the books of the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, you will see that there are plenty of evidence that supports their claim, give it credence to their claim, that the Prophet, peace be upon him, appointed 12 successors after him and have named them, mentioned their names. But those are only in the books of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Someone who does not follow Ahlul Bayt, who is a Muslim, a decent Muslim, yet he does not follow the Shia school of thought, cannot be, you know, held and asked to believe in those narrations, in those words and the narrative that the Shia school of thought give, because simply he is following another school of thought, the school of Sahaba. So the question, does those khulafa, or the word khilafah, or any type of succession that the Prophet has ever mentioned, has it been included in the books of the school of Sahaba or not? This is the whole talk and a presentation tonight. We try to say that if anyone has an objective mind, an impartial mind, and have a good search tool, and search for those ahadith and narrations, and put those narrations together, piece them together, and analyze them, he will come with good certainty or high probability that those successors that the Prophet says in the books of Sahaba, the school of Sahaba, are the fact, in fact, they are the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Inshallah, we will be talking about that after your big and loud salawat. There are multiple narrations in the fundamental books of hadith in the school of Sahaba
that mentions the Khulafa, talks about the Khalifa. And in fact, the theme goes 12 Khalifa, but with different wording, different articulations.
I will mention some of them. For example, in Sahih al-Bukhari, and Jabir ibn Samara, this narrator, says that سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله يقول يكون إثنى عشر أميرا. Then pause, then says كلهم من قريش. There will be 12 أمير. Then there is a pause, then he says that all are from Quraysh. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. In Sahih Muslim, something similar. It says, لا أن هذا الأمر لا ينقضي حتى يمضي فيهم إثنى عشر خليفة. This religion will not be complete until 12 Khalifa will rise. Then again, pause. Then says, كلهم من قريش. They're all from Quraysh. That's where in Sahih Muslim. And by the way, Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim are considered to be the most authentic, the holiest scripts after the words of God in the school of Sahaba. Number three, Musnad Ahmed. Similar articulation. إن هذا الدين لا يزال ظاهرا على من ناوأه لا يضره مخالف ولا مفارق حتى يمضي من أمتي إثنى عشر خليفة. This religion will be upright and continuous until 12 Khalifa will exhaust their time. Then pause, and please pay attention when I say pause. Pause, then he says, كلهم من قريش, because I will explain what this pause is later on as we go along in the talk. So that was where in Musnad Ahmed. Sorry for, you know, taking your time. Two more. The fourth one is in Minhajul Sunnah. Do you know the author of Minhajul Sunnah? Minhaj al-Sunnah was written by someone called Shaykh al-Islam Ahmed ibn Taymiyyah. If you search the entire world, you cannot find someone as hostile as Ahmed ibn Taymiyyah to Ali ibn Abi Talib and his progeny as much as this author. This was a prolific author, a scholar by any means. He was full of knowledge. He has written multiple books, variety of books, in hadith, in fiqh, in kalam, in multiple, a polymath. This man in Minhaj al-Sunnah, who have written this book specifically to counter the claims of followers of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, he says in this book, لا يزال هذا الأمر عزيزا إلى إثنى عشر خليفة. This religion will be aziz, will be good, until 12 Khalifa are gone. Again, pause, then كلهم من قريش. They're all from Quraysh. Lastly, المعجم الكبير للطبراني. الطبراني, again, was one of the great authors that have collected all the good hadith, the correct hadith, that both Bukhari and Muslim have not mentioned. And he included in his book. He says, لا يزال أمر أمتي صالحا حتى يمضي إثنى عشر خليفة. So two things, or three things, are very clear and unanimous in those five different sources. Number one, the mention of 12. Either خليفة or أمير. So 12, خليفة and أمير. The second thing is that they are all from Quraysh. The third thing is the pause that I used to tell you. Pause, then كلهم من قريش. I will explain later on. So those were the five major narrations in the grand books of hadith that talk about those khulafa. Now, an ordinary Muslim would like to understand, to be cleared, to be guided.
this statement of the Prophet not only guide us, cannot guide us, and does not clear the way, in fact, it adds more and more ambiguity. It has created tens of questions that if he had left it silent, could have been better. The question, what did he mean when he said that there are 12 Khalifa? Was he prophesizing? Was he foretelling people? Meaning, I am going to tell you in 500 years there will be certain Khalifa. Is that what the Prophet is doing? Or he is appointing them? The hadith doesn't say. Who are those? Did he mention their names? Why he didn't mention their names? Are they related to each other? Do they come in sequences? Do they come right after him, after 100 years, after thousands of years? Are they political leaders, religious leaders, philosophers? What kind of, you know, Khalifa are those? All narrations are kept silent. Do not talk about it. That's why I say that this hadith has made this situation even worse, more ambiguous, because it has opened the doors of speculations and wild guesses to everyone. Everyone uses his own mind and his own pleasure to juxtapose and fit those 12 Khalifa to those that he loves. Some people, they say those were the Khulafa al-Rashideen, the four ones, then some of Bani Umayyah, and then some of Bani al-Abbas. But then we had more than 50 Khalifa. It doesn't fit. How do you fit them? Until Ibn Taymiyyah, who was the most scholar out of those, he did it this way. He said, okay, 12 Khalifa, let's go with this. First, you have Khulafa al-Rashideen. How many are Khulafa al-Rashideen? Four, right? Then Muawiyah, then Yazid. Now how many? Six. Then he said Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. How many? Seven. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan had four children: Walid, Hisham, Yazid, and Sulaiman. Seven and four, how many? 11. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, 12. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali. Very simple, very easy to everyone. Try to sell it to everyone. Some of those, Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik, one day, he opened the Holy Quran. He opened it, and the ayah says, وَاسْتَفْتَحُوا وَخَابَ كُلُّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. That you are a jabbar, you are a tyrant. He took the arrow, put it in the ark, and shot the Quran. It says, تُهَدِّدُنِي بِجَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ فَهَا أَنَا ذَا جَبَّارٌ عَنِيدٌ إِذَا مَا جِئْتَ رَبَّكَ يَوْمَ حَشْرٍ فَقُلْ يَا رَبِّ مَزَّقَنِي الْوَلِيدُ. Walid tore me up. And Ibn Taymiyyah called this man is one of the khulafa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how, you know, they simplify things and feed it to the people. Luckily, there are other narrations in different books that explain the words of Khulafa, but not in this hadith. Rather, you know, as you flip pages and you go from, you know, from one chapter to another chapter, you find those hadith embedded. The Prophet says, Allahumma arham khulafai. May Allah bless the souls of my khulafa. They told him, وَمَنْ هُمْ خُلَفَاءُكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who are those? He says, الَّذِينَ يَأْتُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Those who follow me. يَرْوُونَ أَحَادِيثِ وَسُنَّتِي وَيُعَلِّمُونَهَ النَّاسِ. They are the ones who narrate my ahadith and my tradition, and they teach people. So the Prophet here is not talking about the political rulers. He's talking about the religious leaders. The sources by which we need to take our ahkam, we need to take our religion, we need to take our faith. After the Prophet, when he's gone, any religious question should be directed to those khulafa. Many of those names that I mentioned by Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah, they were ignorant. They had no idea. They could not even narrate the 3 hadiths of the Prophet, let alone knowing the traditions of the Prophet. So here, both ulama from both sides of the aisle say no. Here it means the religious scholars, those that we need to follow religiously. We need to be guided in the Holy Quran, in our prayers, 10 times at least. We say, اهدنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. Show us the right path. Who will show us the right path? We need to follow that person that guide us to the right path. Another hadith. That's what I said at the beginning. When you capture those narrations from one side, and you put, you know, you got to be an investigator. You take a piece of information here, you stick it with this piece of information, you add a third one and fourth one until the picture becomes clear to you. A third hadith, this is in Musnad Ahmed. He said that one of the companions or some people asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, من نؤمر بعدك? Whom should we appoint as a leader after you? He said, this is in Musnad Ahmad. He said, إِن تُؤَمِّرُوا أَبَا بَكْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ أَمِينًا زَاهِدًا. If you choose Abu Bakr, he will be a trustworthy, and he will be zahid, very modest. You know, not after the worldly desires. فِي الدُّنْيَا رَاغِبًا فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَإِن تُؤَمِّرُوا عُمَرٍ تجدوه قويا امينا لا يخاف في الله لومه لائم. Strong, trustworthy, and hero, a brave. He's not, you know, terrified by people. He always says the truth. وان تؤمروا عليا. If you happen to choose Ali ibn Abi Talib, again, this is narrated in Musnad Ahmad. وَإِن تُؤَمِّرُوا عَلِيًّا وَلَا أَرَاكُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. And I don't see that you're going to appoint Ali ibn Abi Talib. تَجِدُونَهُ هَادِيًا مَهْدِيًا يَأْخُذُكُمْ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. اللهم صلي على محمد. Is it clear? Do I need to translate? That he will be guided. هَادِيًا مَهْدِيًا. He will take you to صراط المستقيم. How many sirats we have? It's only one. Who's saying this? Musnad Ahmed, Hadith 859. Okay, so far so good. Let's go back again to those 12 khalifa that I told you that the Prophet has narrated multiple times, and those narrators have written this hadith. Where did he say that? Those ahadith in that chapter do not tell you. Again, as you search and keep searching, you will find something. You will find this narrator that I mentioned at the beginning, Jabir ibn Samara. He also narrates something else right after. He said that, and this is Jabir ibn Samara, but this time not in Sahih al-Bukhari, again in Musnad Ahmed. He says that في حجة الوداع رسول الله say this in حجة الوداع. What did he say? He says سمعت رسول الله. I listened to the Prophet directly from him when he says إني تارك فيكم الثقلين كتاب الله وعترتي أهل بيتي. Stop. Period. Does not continue. Good enough. Good enough. But it is the same narrator. So this narrator, Jabir ibn Samara, who narrated that the Prophet has talked about the 12 Khalifa and said and paused and then said, كلهم من قريش, he also narrates that the Prophet mentioned 2 important, valuable things that he will leave, Quran and Ahl al-Bayt. Piece them together, something should be more and more clear and obvious. Aren't you? Are you with me? صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. So we have a few questions. First of all, when the Prophet mentioned that there are 12 Khalifa after me, why those Sahaba, thousands who are in Hajjat al-Wada', by the way, this Hajjat al-Wada' was on the day of Ghadir. when the Prophet collected 80,000, 100,000 of those Hujjaj, pilgrims, those who were in advance asked them to stop, to come back, and those who were behind them asked them to hurry up until they got to Ghadir Khum, and he announced this announcement, right? So the question, why those people, 100,000 of them, why none of them dare to ask the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, who are those? Can you give us some hint, some names? There are three possibilities. Either that they were careless, they didn't care. Who cares? So what? Somebody will come after the Prophet. You know, they don't care about their future, they don't care about their nation, they don't care about their faith. But Quran tells us the opposite. Quran tells us that those Sahaba kept asking everything from the Prophet, even the silly thing, to the point that the Quran admonished them not to ask everything. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. Everything has no meaning that you ask the Prophet. Ask something important. So those Sahaba, they have must ask the Prophet, because something extremely important, this will determine their future, the future of their religion. It is impossible. This guy who asked about the past and about some silly questions, definitely he will ask something useful and important. So we say that they have asked. If they have asked, then it must be the Prophet who didn't answer them. He told them, look, I know the answer, but the hell with you, I'm not going to answer you. You don't deserve it. I'm not going to tell you the answer. You know, we say in Farsi, there are people who are Mashhad, you know, Mashhadi or Khurasani. What is the proverbial term they say? Mi dunom o nemigo? Mi dunom nemigo. So this is the Prophet told them, I know, but I'm not going to tell you. Again, Quran tells us this is impossible. Allah has ordered the Prophet, Ya أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولِ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. It is not up to you, Ya Rasulullah. It is not a personal choice. It is a message, a divine message. You have to say it. It is not something that is by choice, that you would like to or you do not like to. You have to deliver this message. So the third possibility is that they have asked and he told them, but the history kept silent. Now, do you remember when I used to say pause and then kulluhum min Quraysh? What was this pause? This pause is this, is that this narrator says when he paused, they asked him, why did you pause? He said, oh, let me tell you. ثم تكلم رسول الله بشيء لم أفهمه. He said something that I did not understand. I didn't hear it well. I heard the beginning and I heard the last, but this middle phrases I could not hear. تَكَلَّمَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ أَفْهَمْهُ فَقُلْتُ لِأَبِي. My father was with me. Told him, Ya Abba, what did the Prophet say? He said, كُلُّهُم مِّن قُرَيْش. They're all from Quraysh. Simplified. You know, they say, one day, a daughter-in-law with her mother-in-law. And you know the lovely relationship between the two, right? So when they sit on the lunch table or dinner table, the mother-in-law doesn't want her daughter-in-law to eat too much. And the daughter-in-law does the same thing. So always the mother-in-law keep her daughter-in-law busy, asking different questions. So she keeps talking, and the dinner table is left to the mother-in-law. She eats, and she finished the dinner, and this poor daughter-in-law is left hungry. So one day the daughter-in-law wanted to take revenge. Once they sat on the table, she told her mommy, can you tell me the story of Yusuf alayhi salam? A lengthy story. She said, yeah, a little boy was lost and they found him. And she started eating. The same thing, this poor guy asked his father, what did the Prophet say? He said, كلهم من قريش. They're all from Quraysh. He didn't make a lie, of course. But did he tell the truth? So that's, you know, that was the point. Why history keeps silent? Why history doesn't talk? Two reasons. Number one, because there was a suffocating environment after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in the time of Muawiyah. You see, there is a famous figure in the history of Islam. His name is Ulay ibn Rabah. Ulay ibn Rabah. Ulay, what does Ulay mean? Is nickname of Ali. But his name is not Ali. His name is Ulay. One day after the passing of Muawiyah, long, long time when he was, in safety, they told him, they kept calling him Ulay. He said, wait a minute, my name is not Ulay. My name is Ali. But I cannot say it. If they figure out that I am Ali, they will behead me. Muawiyah, Bani Umayyah will behead me because I carry the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib. One day, Muawiyah is writing to his governors in the entire Islamic territory. He tells them, أنبرئت الذمة من روى شيئا في فضل أبي تراب وأهل. Anyone who mentioned a single tribute, single virtue of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the nickname is Abu Turab. He used to call him Abu Turab. Abu Turab and his household, بُرِئَتْ الذِّمَّةِ. You can do everything to him. This was the suffocating environment at that time for those people who could narrate, who could dare to mention the name of Ahlul Bayt. Second, if they have said those names, then a complete narrative will be changing, will be destroyed. Therefore, history keeps silent. The second reason I will give you after your big and loud salawat. Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha narrates that after the departure of the Prophet, one day my father came to my house. He slept. And then he told me, Aisha, do you have narrations from the Prophet? She said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Have you collected them? Yes. Could you bring me? She brought it, all the narrations. Piles of papers, skins of animals. He gathered them in the backyard and set them on fire. 500 hadiths. They all were gone. Why? Why you do this? He said, oh, because my fear is that somebody else will come after me and will change the narrative of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That was the cause for Abu Bakr to burn those 500 hadith. The second Khalifa who came after him, again, send a message to entire governors, in all Islamic territories, that collect all the ahadith, all the narrations that you have collected from the Prophet. Once they arrived, he piled them and set them on fire. Now we understand why the history became silent about those 12 Khalifa. They were all, those narrations that would come and explain, they were all gone. Now, so far, so good. In those ahadith, in the books of Sahaba, there is no mention of the 12th Imam or 12th Khalifa, let's say. But let's look at the historians. What do they talk about our Imams? How do they introduce them? How do they describe them? We said, by standard of Allah, Khilafah goes with the knowledge, right? The most knowledgeable person should be the one who will assume the leadership. According to those historians, I will read a few, verses, a few phrases from those historians to tell you what they say about those imams. For example, the most famous out of those is called Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi, not Shamsuddin al-Shahidi. Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi. Where are you, Haj Shamsuddin? I don't see him. Okay. Maybe he wants to write something. Shamsuddin Dhahabi, sorry, he's one of the great authors of history, a historian. He wrote many books, among them Siyara A'lam al-Nubala. He talks about Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He says, كَانَ لَهُ جَلَالَةٌ عَظِيمَ وَحَقٌ لَهُ وَاللَّهُ ذَلِكَ. First of all, Shamsuddin Dahabi was part of Bani Umayyah, a scholar of the government, Bani Umayyah. He says that the majesty of Zain al-Abidin was something unrivaled by anything else. لَقَدْ كَانَ أَهْلًا لِلْإِمَامَةِ الْعُظْمَى. He deserved to be the great imam. This is by whom? Shamsuddin al-Dahabi. وَسُؤْدَدُ. For what? For what reason he becomes the great imam? لِشَرَفِهِ وَسُؤْدَدِهِ وَعِلْمِهِ وَتَأَهُلُهِ وَكَمَالِ عَقْلِهِ. Was full of knowledge, full of intelligence. Whom? About al-Imam Zain al-Abidin. When it comes to al-Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says, سُمِّيَ الْبَاقِرْ لَأَنَّهُ بَقَرَ الْعِلْمِ وَكَانَ يَصْلَحُ لِلْخِلَافَةِ. He has unearthed knowledge. He splitted knowledge. وَكَانَ يَصْلَحُ لِلْخِلَافَةِ. He deserved to be a Khalifa. Again, when it comes to al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, صَدُوقٌ فَقِيهٌ إِمَامٌ وَثِقَةٌ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ مِثْلِهِ. Someone like Imam al-Sadiq, nobody dares to question, to authenticate, because he's very clear. He's faqih, he's an imam. About al-Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he says, صَالِحًا عَالِمًا عَابِدًا مُتَأَهِ. Not only al-Dhahabi, all historians who, you know, history was written not from the point of a few of the opposition who were the Shia, who were Ahlul Bayt's school of thought. It was from the point of view of the governments, from Bani Umayyah. That's why we end up having history. Otherwise, the history of opposition is gone, get destroyed. It is always the history of the monarch, the surviving monarch that comes to our hand. Those people were associated with the government in such suffocating environment, difficult environment, yes, yet they would praise and glorify our imams. What does that tell you? First of all, they have no interest to say something about the imams that they don't believe in. First of all, they don't like their followers. In fact, al-Dhahabi accused the Shia of heresy. Accused Shia of Rafida, all kind of accusations, he and the rest of the historians. They don't have any tendency toward Ahlul Bayt, yet they are very, you know, professional, objective when they describe the quality of our imams. When you piece all those together, in addition to other pieces of information, you cannot get any result except that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi has appointed those 12 imams. I will tell you a couple more important things. You see, our imams were in the opposition. And always the government feared them, whether it was Bani Umayyah or Bani al-Abbas. Always have put them under surveillance. Anything that they would do, soon after, it would be reported to the Khalifa. The spies were in the households of the imam. Some of our imams, their wives were the spies. They were the one who would spy on the imam and report to the Khalifa, would send the report to the Khalifa. History does not mention a single scandal, a single shortcoming from any of those imams. 11 imams you have, from Ali ibn Abi Talib all the way to al-Imam al-Hasan al-Askari. Not even a single shortcoming, one of those historians come to tell you, for example, this man, this such and such. Nothing. Despite the surveillances that, you know, the system had put against those imams. In addition, all of those imams would claim and declare that they are the most knowledgeable people. Always, you know, something. They did not declare that they are infallible. We don't have an exact, a clear wording from, for example, al-Imam al-Sadiq that says that I am infallible. But he says that I am the most knowledgeable person. Here,
One hadith says, Al-Imam al-Sadiq says, Saluni qabla an tafquduni. Just like his grandfather Ali ibn Abi Talib. Saluni qabla an tafquduni. Fala yuhadithukum ahadun ba'di bimithli hadithi. No one will tell you as true as my hadith and my narrations. In fact, our imams will challenge others to tell them we are the most knowledgeable. Come to contest. You want to find out? You want to test? Bismillah. And they were the oppositions for a government, for a khalifa, in order to eliminate those imams. It would have been very easy for him to bring a challenger to challenge the imam in certain questions, and the imams cannot answer, therefore they are exposed to the public. Discredit the imams, character assassination, but none of them could do that. They always would assassinate the imam. But none of them dared to challenge the imams on their questions. Always the imams were being asked. People would go back and refer to them, use them as their references. Not a single incident history tells us that any of those imams went to somebody, to some alim, to some scholar, and asked him a question. Tell us about this question. They were always the ones who contained the knowledge. And one more piece of information. Again, history tells us every detail about our imams. What age they, at what year they were born, what year they died, who were their mothers, who were their siblings, who were their children, who were their wives, what did they do, where did they travel, where did they spend their time with, their companions, their followers, their friends, everything that you need is included in history, except one information. One piece of information that is missing in all those imams. History doesn't tell us. And that is their teachers. Who has taught them? They say, those historians say that Al-Imam al-Sadiq was the most knowledgeable person at the time. But then he fails. The same person fails to tell us, where did he get his knowledge from? Today, when you have a Nobel laureate, someone who gets Nobel Prize, the first information, piece of information that comes from him, he studied, for example, physics in MIT, in Yale, in Harvard, in Oxford. Isn't it? People boast about their, school of education. This piece of information, the most important piece of information that tells us the source of knowledge of those imams is missing in history. Nobody knows. Why nobody knows? Because Allah is the one. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Yesterday we said that the knowledge that God gave to Khalifa was direct, without any interference. Remember this? Without any intermediary. And that was valid for our imams. In fact, the followers of the imams would come to recognize the imam not from the hadith of the Prophet. The Prophet has said, for example, Al-Imam Jawad is number nine. No, they would check from his knowledge. They examine the knowledge of the imam. Once they see that he's the most knowledgeable, they would follow him. Because many followers have not heard the message and narrations of the Prophet and command of the Prophet. But when they sit down and listen to the imam and see the scope of his knowledge, they come to realize that no, this is the man that God has chosen him. In the narration says that Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Askari, when he passed away, he told his companion, Abu Al-Adyan, or Ibn Abi Al-Adyan, told him, you're going to leave. He used to be the messenger of the imam, would send him, dispatch him with letters to different places. He told him, when you leave and come back in 2 weeks, you will find me dead on the same day that you arrive, Samarra. I will be passing away. Ibn Abi Al-Adyan told him, who's going to follow you? He told him, I'm not going to mention the names. But listen,
see who's going to pray on my body. Second, who will foretell and tell the people what's in the himyan. You know what the himyan? Himyan is a belt that has pockets. People used to wear it, even those who go to Mecca, to Hajj, they wear this himyan that has pocket. We put money, you know, and belonging, valuable belonging in these pockets. So the imam told him, you listen to someone who says what's in the himyan. Ibn Abi al-Adyan said, I was, you know, ashamed to ask, what himyan? What are you talking about? I left it quiet. Said, when I came back, I saw the imam is dead. And people are coming to the house of imam and give condolence to his brother Ja'far. But then I said, Ja'far is going to be the imam after Imam al-Hasan al-Askari? No way, impossible. Then all of a sudden, when the body of Imam al-Hasan al-Askari was ready and prepared for the prayers, all of a sudden a five-year-old young man appeared and pushed his uncle away and stood and prayed on the janazah of Imam al-Hasan al-Askari. Then there were a group of merchants came from Khorasan. They had khums to give to Ja'far. They said, this khums is for the imam. He said, okay, give it to me. They said, no. Every imam, when we would bring the khums, he would tell us how much in the himyan inside this belt. You tell us how much is inside. He said, Allahu Akbar, you want me to be knowing ilmul ghayb? I don't know ilmul ghayb. All of a sudden, this khadim came out and said, in this himyan, there is 1,000 gold dinar. Bring it. Then I realized it was the imam. So what I'm trying to say, based on knowledge, people would know who was the imam. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Tonight we are mourning probably the second hero in the battle of Karbala, in the epic of Karbala. He was not a ma'soom, but he was a saddiq. His knowledge contained from three imams. Three imams have, you know, given him his knowledge. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, al-Hasan alayhi salam, al-Husayn alayhi salam. That much knowledge this man used to have. One of the striking features of this man that no one shares him, four imams kissed his hand. Four imams, four infallibles. The first one was Ali ibn Abi Talib. When he was born, at the time that he was born, and that was on 26th of Al-Hijrah, Umm al-Baneen brought this child, delivered this child. The first thing that Ali ibn Abi Talib did when he grabbed this child and did adhan in his right ear and iqama in left ear, he took his hands from the swaddle and kissed his right and left hand. And tears were coming from eyes of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umm al-Baneen was terrified, said, is there something wrong with the hand of my son? He said, no, ya Umm al-Baneen, nothing wrong with the hands of your son, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. But I am weeping for that day that he will lose those hands. Those hands will be amputated. Al-Imam al-Hasan kissed them again. Al-Imam al-Husayn kissed those hands on the day of birth of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Also, he kissed it on the day of Ashura. The narrator said when Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas collapsed, Imam Husayn came to his side. First, Imam Hussein bent and took two shiny things, kissed them. As we looked, we saw it was the amputated hands of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. And Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam kissed his hand. On the day of the 12th of Muharram or 13th of Muharram when he buried them. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was the standard bearer of Imam al-Hussein. On the day of Ashura, he came to Imam. It was left he and the Imam. Khalas, no more. No more soldiers. When he came to the Imam asking for permission to go and fight, the Imam tells him, you are the standard bearer of my army. You are the commander of the army. There is no army. No one was left. But Imam Hussein would consider Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas as an entire army. But told him, Ya Akhi, if you insist, then go and ask water for those children. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas takes the water skin. By the way, on 6th of Muharram, when the entire water of the camp of Imam Hussein was complete and was gone, and it was exhausted, the Imam asked Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas to go and get water. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, along with the 20 warriors, they went, they removed the entire army of Ibn Ziyad and took water and brought it to the tents, to the camp of Imam Hussein. That was on 6th of Muharram. Therefore, in Karbala, in the Islamic world, in the Arabic world, they commemorate the legacy of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas on 6th of Muharram for that reason. But on the 10th, when Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas went instead of in front of 30,000 army, on the river bank they were 4,000 soldiers, well-guarded soldiers, waiting for anyone to get close to kill him, to destroy him. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas by himself came charging to the enemy. He was saying, لا أرهب الموت إذا الموت رقى حتى أوارى في المصاليط لقى إني أنا العباس أخدو بالسقى نفسي لنفس المصطفى الطهر وقى. He comes. He removes the entire army from the river bank. He enters the river. He fills the water skin. Then he takes a scoop of water. Thirsty. Bring the water close to his mouth. All of a sudden, he reminded by thirst of his brother and the children, as they say, al-atash, al-atash. He throws the water away and says, Ya nafs min ba'di al-Husayn huni, wa min ba'dihi la kunti an takuni. Hada al-Husayn warid al-manini, manuni, wa tashrabina wa barid al-ma'ini. تالله ما هذا فعال ديني ولا فعال صادق اليقيني. He grabs the water skin and he moves as fast as he can to the camp of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Zayd ibn Warqa hides himself behind a palm tree. As Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas gets close, he attacks him and amputates his right hand. He grabs the sword with the left hand and says, Wallahi in qata'tumu yamini, inni uhami abadan andini, wa an imam sadiq al-yaqini. As he approaches the camp of Imam Hussein, Hakim ibn al-Tufail again hides behind another tree and amputates his left arm. He grabs the water skin with his, you know, what is left from his arm, and he says that, he recites this. He recites this, يا نفس لا تخشي من الكفار وأبشري برحمة الجبار قد قطعوا ببغيهم يساري فأصلهم يا رب حر النار. As he goes close, two arrows come to him. One sits right on his right eyes, penetrate his eyes. The blood gushes everywhere. He cannot see anything. Another arrow comes and hit the water skin. The Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas stays there, puzzled. Doesn't know what to do, bewildered. He doesn't have a hand to fight. He cannot go back again to the tent because he promised the children that he will bring water to them. At that moment, an enemy of Allah came and hit him with the pole on his head. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas collapsed from the horse on the on his face. Every warrior, when he collapsed, he grabs the hand with his hand. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas received the ground with his face and chest. He fell on the ground, saying, Ya akhi, adrik akhak, assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Imam Hussein comes to him, see him in his last moment. He grabs him, put his head on his lap, remove the blood from his face. It tried to take him. He says, Al-an inkasara dhahri ya akhi. My back is broken. tried to take him with him, bring him to the camp. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas telling him, Akhi, what are you trying to do? He said, I want to carry you back to the camp. He said, no, please, bihaqq jaddik. I beg you by the name of your grandfather, Rasulullah, don't take me. Leave me here. Why, Abbas? He said, because I promised Sukaina. I promised the children to bring them water. I don't want to be ashamed and embarrassed. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عزیزم فقط صندلی های جلو برداشته میشه خواهش میکنم به صندلی های عقب دست نزنید متشکرم بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم یا رحمان و یا رحیم صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ومولاي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما منم که عمری ز بینوایی به درگه تو کنم گدایی نماز کارم گره گشایی عزیز زهرا حسین مظلوم من به عشق روی تو جان می سپارم یا حسین، بهتر از جان در رهت چیزی ندارم یا حسین، وقت مردن آرزو دارم به بالینم رسی، جان زهرا مادرت چشم انتظارم یا حسین. عزیزان امشب شب آقا ابوالفضله، باید خالصانه متوسل بشیم. آقا ابوالفضل یه تافته جدا بافته است، باب الحوائجه، تنها حاجتی رو که برآورده نکرد، جعفر آقا گفتن متاسفانه آب نتونست ببره برای سکینه. هر کسی رو باب الحوائج نمیگن، کسی که حاجت روا بکنه بهش میگن باب الحوائج، دریچه و در رحمت آقا. السلام علیک یا ابوالفضل العباس، السلام علیک یا قمر بنی هاشم، السلام علیک یا ابن امیر المؤمنین، ما در سر خود عشق تو داریم عباس، جان را به ره تو می سپاریم عباس، هرگاه دری به روی ما بسته شود رو بر در و درگاه تو آریم عباس. خدایا شرح غم خواندن چه سخت است، زداغ لال پش مردن چه سخت است، نمیدانی که با دست بریده ز پشت اسب افتادن چه زخده، اگر تیری درون چشم باشد نمیدانی زمین خوردن چه زخده، آخ نمیدانی که با چشمان خونی جمال فاطمه دیدن چه سخته، کنار علقمه با مشک خالی ببین شرمنده گردیدن چه سخت است، ساحل علقمه با عطر گل یاس یکیست، قمر هاشمیان در همه ناس یکیست، سیر کردم عدد ابجد و دیدم به حساب نام زیبای ابا صالح و عباس یکی، عبد گناهکار دلش بیقراره، بندت به غیر از تو کسی رو نداره، خدایا از بس که مهربونی تو دلیل این اشکامو میدونی تو، میدونی تو، میدونی تو، عم داره میشه تبا، خدایا ببخش، خدایا ببخش، خستم از بار گناه، خدایا ببخش، خدایا ببخش، خدایا ببخش، هر بار صدات کردم بدادم رسیدی بدادم رسیدی برادم رسیدی حاجت روام کردی بدیم و ندیدی بدیم و ندیدی بدیم و ندیدی به این عبد بی مقدار و ناقابه نظر کن جان آقا ابو فاضل ابو فاضل ابو فاضل جان ابو فاضل از همه تشنه ترم خدایا ببخش خدایا ببخش جان سقای حرم خدایا ببخش خدایا ببخش دامن کشان رفتی دلم زیر و رو شد دلم زیر و رو شد دلم زیر و رو شد چشم حرامی بر حرم رو به رو شد حرم رو به رو شد حرم رو به رو شد بیا برگرد خیمه ای کس و کارم منو تنها نگذار ای علم دارم علم دارم علم دارم علم دارم
دست من خود به آبی که نصیب تو نشود دست من خورد به آبی که نصیب تو نشود چشم من داد از آن آب روان تصویرم باید این دیده و این دستم قربانی تا که تکمیل شود حج من و تقدیر بدنم را به سوی خیمه اسور نبری بدنم را به سوی خیمه اصغر نبرید که خجالت زده زان تشنه لب بشیرم عباس جان عاشقانت آمدن امشب حاجت دارم خیلی به تو ارادت دارن عباس جان یا ابوالفضل عصر روز عاشورا عباس وقتی تنهای غربت امام حسین رو دید با
برادر به من اجازه جنگ بده، بگذار برم این دشمنان خدا را از بین ببرم. امام حسین گریه کرد، گفت عباس جانم اگه تو بری یعنی تمام لشکرم رفته، یعنی عباس یه طرف، کل لشکر امام حسین هم یه طرف. فرمود عباسم کمی برای بچه ها آبی آر. یه وقت عباس صدای الاتش الاتش بچه ها رو شدید، این بچه ها فریاد میزنن از تشنگی. من نمیدونم چطور تونستن این بچه ها تحمل کنن. ما وقتی روزه میگیریم از صبح تا شب فقط آب نیست، هزار جور زیر کولر رو این مسائل هستیم، میبینیم آخر بعد از ظهر همه خسته و نالان و بیحال. خدایا نمیدونم این بچه ها چطور گذروندن اون روزها رو. سوار مرکب میشه عباس، به دشمن حمله میکنه، خیلی از دشمنا را به هلاکت میرسونه، خودش رو به آب رسان. این مقتل هستن، این دارم مقتل براتون میخونم. خودش رو به آب رسان، خواب خواست کمی آب برداره بخوره، یاد آتش ابی عبدالله و اهل بید افتاد. مگه عباس میتونه آب رو بدون برادرش بخوره، یا میتونه بدون اینکه بچه ها آبی بخورن به دهن خودش برسونه؟ گفت به خدا سوگند آب نمیخورم تا وقتی که برادرم حسین و بچه های اهل بیت سیراب نشده باشن. مشک را پر کرد، روی شانه راست انداخت، سوی خیمه حرکت کرد، او را از همه طرف محاصره کردن، از همه طرف او تیر اندازی میکرد، دو نفر کمین کردن، از پشت نقد از راست عباس رو خرد. فریاد میزنه به خدا سوگند اگر دست راستم رو جدا کنید من از دینم دفاع میکنم، من هنوز از دینم دفاع میکنم، از امامم دفاع میکنم. نانجیب دیگری آمد از پشت نخلی، ای وای، دست چپ ابوالفضل را از بدن جدا میکنه. حضرت عباس علیه السلام مشک را آب را با دندان میبره، هنوز خوشحال، هنوز آبا چیزی نشده، اما یه وقتی تیری به چشمانش اصابت کرد، یه وقتی تیری دیگری آمد وسط مشک آب را سوراخ کرد، آب ها روی زمین ریخت، عباس امیدش ناامید شد، به فکر بچه ها بود، به فکر لبای تشنه حسین بود، از بالای اسب افتاد رود روی زمین، صدا زد اخی ادرک اخاک، برادر برادرتو دریاب. امام حسین خودشو سریع به او رسود، دید فرق شکسته، دستای عباس از بدن جدا شده، یه تیری هم تو چشماشه، همه داد بزنید ابوالفتح. امام حسین کنار عباس نشست، خاک و خونه را از روی چشمان عباس پاک کرد، دید عباس داره گریه میکنه، میگه عباس چرا گریه میکنی؟ میگه برادر چرا که گریه نکنم؟ الان تو اومدی سر من رو زانوت گذاشتی، ساعتی دیگر وقتی تو شهید میشی آیا کسی از سرت رو روی زانوش بگذاره؟ همه داد بزنید یا حسین یا حسین. ای برادر جان بی دست در خون بینمت، سر به زانویم گذار این لحظه های واپسین، نخل امید منی در خاک و خون چون بینمت، شام فردا با عزیزانی مهمان بدم. عباس من عباس من عباس من، این جواب شما باشه عزیزان، عجلتون با امام حسین ان شاء الله دست در نه. عباس من عباس من، چشم خود وا کن، چشم خود وا کن، عباس من عباس من، چشم خود وا کن، چشم خود وا کن، عباس من چشم خود وا کن، چشم خود وا کن، عباس من عباس من، چشم خود وا کن، بار دیگر بار دیگر حمایت از آل طه، از آل طه، سقای آل فاطمه از چه بیتابی، از چه بیتابی، کنار نهر القمه تشنه آبی، تشنه آبی، عباس من چشم خود وا کن، چشم خود وا کن، عباس من چشم خود وا کن، با جام خالی کودکان دیده در راغن، دیده در راغن، تنها تو را تنها تو را از تو میخوان، از تو میخوان، عباس من چشم خود وا کن، عباس من عباس من، احسن. من بین دشمن ماندم بی کس و تنها، بی کس و تنها، تو غرق خون افتاده ای بین دشمن ها، بین دشمن ها، عباس من چشم خود وا کن، عباس من چشم خود وا کن، وقتی که دست از پیکرت بر زمین افتاد، بر زمین افتاد، ذریه زهرا شدن دشمن، جمله دشمن شاد، جمله دشمن شاد. عباس من چشم خود وا کن، عباس من، عباس من،
عباس من، چشم خود وا کن، چشم خود وا کن.
سقای بی دست و سرم آه و واویلا، آه و واویلا، برخیز و رو کن در حرم اهل واویلا، آه و واویلا. عباس من، عباس من،
چشم خود وا کن،
عباس من، عباس من، من قدرتی دیگر به تن ندارم، من قدرتی دیگر به تن ندارم، دستی دیگر چون در بدن ندارم، دشمن چو بست راه من زهر سو، به خیم راه آمدن ندارم. والله این قطعتم یمینی، والله این قطعتم یمینی، اینی احامی ابدا عن دینی، اینی احامی. احسن جواب بده. والله، والله این قطعتم یمینی، اینی احامی افتاده ام تنها به چنگ دشمن، افتاده ام تنها به چنگ دشمن، وان بازوی لشکر شکن ندارم، شد پار مشک و آب فرو ریخت، به خیمه روی آمدن ندارم. شرمنده ام اخا چو پیشمایی، من قدرت برپا شدن ندارم. والله این، احسن، والله این، اینی احامی، زینب مگر چشم مرا ببنده، زینب مگر چشم مرا ببندد، در کربلا مادر که من ندارم، پوشیدم لباس فخر و عزت، چه غم اگر که من کفن ندارم. والله این،
والله این قطعت مو یمینی، اینی احامی ابداً عن دینی، والله این نیامد، علم دار نیامد،
علم دار، افسوس که سقای حرم آب ندارد، افسوس که سقای حرم آب ندارد، حرم آب ندارد، حرم آب ندارد، افسوس که سقای حرم آب ندارد، افسوس که سقای حرم آب ندارد، حرم آب ندارد، حرم افسوس که شش ماه دگر تاب ندارد، افسوس که شش ماه دگر تاب ندارد، حرم آب ندارد، حرم آب ندارد، از سوز آتش گشت نفس شعله بسینه، خون گریه کند آب به گلهای مدینه، سقا شده بر اهل حرم چشم سکینه، دردانه زهرا به حرم خواب ندارد، حرم آب ندارد، حرم آب ندارد، در سینه اطفال نفسها شده ناله، گریان حرم ذات خدا جل جلاله، افسوس که از سوز آتش طفل سه ساله، در دیده به غیر از گوهر ناب ندارد، حرم حرم آب ندارد،
حرم آب
حرم آب ندارد،
حرم آب ندارد،
دریاز غم تشنه لبان جام دریده، آبی به حرم نیست به جز عشق دو دیده، از صورت شش ماه دگر رنگ پریده، زردی رخش را رخ مهتاب ندارد، حرم آب 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 ندارد، حرم آب، لوح و قلم میگن حسین، تیغ و علم میگن حسین، شادی و غم میگن حسین، حسین میگه ابوالفضل، حسین میگه ابوالفضل، حسین میگه ابوالفضل، حسین میگه حیدریون میگن حسین، فاطمیون میگن حسین، زینبیون میگن حسین، حسین میگه
ابوالفضل،
حسین میگه ابوالفضل، سعی و صفا میگن حسین، کوه منا میگه حسین، کرب و بلا میگه حسین، حسین میگه
حسین میگه
عرض و سما میگن حسین، فرشته ها میگن حسین، دیوونه ها میگن حسین، حسین میگه
ابوالفضل،
پیر حرم میگه حسین، شور و شرم میگه حسین، عشق ترم میگه حسین، حسین میگه
ابوالفضل،
حسین میگه دو خط دیگه، حسین میگه
ابوالفضل،
حسین میگه
ابوالفضل،
صف شکنا میگن حسین، گریه کنا میگن حسین، سینه زنا میگن حسین، حسین میگه
ابوالفضل،
حسین میگه
ابوالفضل،
حسین میگه
ابوالفضل،
حسین میگه
ابوالفضل،
شاه و گدا میگن حسین، کرب و بلا میگه حسین، خود خدا میگه حسین، حسین میگه ابوالفضل، حسین میگه
ابوالفضل،
حسین میگه مسیحی ها میگن حسین، ارمنی ها میگن حسین، یهودی ها میگن حسین، حسین میگه
ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین، ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین، اکفیانی ایل ام البنین، اکفیان ایل ام البنین، همه ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین، ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین، اکفیانی ایل ام البنین، اکفیان ایل ساقیا، ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین، ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین، اکفیانی ایل ام البنین، نمیگی اکفیانی
ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین،
ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین، ساقیا
اکفیانی ایل ام البنین،
اکفیان ایل ام البنین، اکفیانی ایل، ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین، ساقیا
جان
امیرالمومنین، اکفیانی ایل ام البنین، اکفیانی ایل، علی گرد و خاکی شد و از خیم دوتا آینه رفت، گرد و خاکی شد و از خیم دوتا آینه رفت، ماه از میمن خورشید هم از می سر رفت، ناتوان ناتوان ناتوانم که مجسم کنم این هم همه را، ناتوان ناتوانم کنم ناتوانم که مجسم کنم این هم همه را، پسر ام بنی و پسر فاطمه را، قمر هاشمی از اصل و نسب میگویم، قمر هاشمی از اصل و نسب میگوید، دیگری هم انا قتال و عرب میگوید، دیگری هم انا قتال و عرب میگوید، ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین،
بگو
ساقیا
اکفیانی ایل ام البنین،
راجع التاريخ يا سامع كلام يطالع، راجع التاريخ يا سامع كلام يطالع، تلقى بهاي المعارف والمعارف نافعة، واعرف انت يا سبب عباس ربك
نعم ربك علي
علي،
فاعرف انت يا سبب عباس ربك ابدع بيا وقت باسم الشريف نكتب ملك المشرعه راجع التاريخ واقرا شقال حيدر من خطب راجع التاريخ واقرا شقال حيدر من خطب قال اريد لابني ناس من صناديد العرب قال اريد لابني ناس من صناديد العرب صاغي يا جان امير المؤمنين
جابوه بده
صاغي يا جان امير المؤمنين
اكفياني اي الامني
علی پرده افتاده و به پا شده یک راز دگر پرده افتاده و پیدا شده یک راز دگر سر زد از هاشمیان باز همه جاز دگر
علی
پرده افتاده و پیدا شده یک راز دگر سر زد از هاشمیان باز هم اجاز دگر گفتم اجاز از اجاز فراتر دیدم زور بازوی علی دو برابر دیدم زور بازوی علی دو شان در شان دو تا کوه خودت میدانی شان در شان دو تا کوه خودت میدانی در دل لشکر انبوه خودت میدانی در دل لشکر انبوه خودت میدانی ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین اکفیانی ایاله علی راجع التاريخ وقرش قال حيدر من خطب راجع التاريخ وقرش قال حيدر من خطب قال اريد الابن ناس من صناديد العرب من قبل من يا ولد من قبل ما ينولد عباس فاز بهاللقب صار ناصر للحسين الكرامة منتخب علي
ما شاء الله
هذا عباس البطل وارث مفاخر ذو الفخر هذا عباس البطل وارث مفاخر ذو الفخر هذا سلطان المجد والجود والعز والفخار هذا سلطان المجد والجود والعز والفخار ساقيا جان امير المؤمنين
فقط جواب بده سينه نزن
جان امير المؤمنين اكفياني اي بگو ام البنين علی مادر کسوت سخاف به میان آمده است مادر کسوت سخاف به میان آمده است رود برخواست که موسی به میان آمده است رود از بس که شعف داشت تلاطم میکرد رود از بس که شعف داشت تلاطم آب با خاک کف پاش تیمم میکرد آب با خاک کف پاش تیمم ماه را من چه بگویم که چنین است و چنان ماه را من چه بگو که چنین است و چنان شاه شمشاد قدان خسرو و شیرین دهنان شاه شمشاد قدان خسرو و شیرین دهنان ساقیا جان امیرالمومنین
فقط جواب
ساقیا اکفیانی ایل ام البنین
بگو
علی هذا عباس البطل وارث مفاخر ذو الفخر هذا عباس البطل وارث مفاخر ذو الفخر هذا سلطان المجد والجود والعز والفخر هذا جيد من الحرب هذا الذي بالحوم نار هذا لو طفل معاه ينقلب ليله نهار أسأل تراب الطفوف شلون من أصبح بحر أسأل تراب الطفوف شلون من أصبح بحر بحر من دم الأعاد رؤوسهم تمطر مطر بحر من دم الأعاد رؤوسهم تمطر مطر صاغي يا جان أمير المؤمنين صاغي يا جان أمير المؤمنين اكفياني أي لأم الظليم
اكفياني أي لأم
علي ما هجر چه همه الغم را پیموده ما هجر چه همه الغم را پیموده غرق گشت است و نگشت است به آب آلوده آب را تا به ابد تشنه مهتاب گذاشت آب را تا به ابد تشنه مهتاب گذاشت داغ لبهای خودش به دل آب گذاشت داغ لبهای خودش به
دل آب گذاشت
لب اگر تر کند از چشمه دریا عباس لب اگر تر کند از چشمه دریا عباس چه جوابی بدهد ام بنین را عباس چه جوابی بدهد ام بنین را ساقیا ساقیا جان امیر المومنین ساقیا اکفیانی ایل ام البنین
اكفياني
يا له علي اسال اسال تراب الطفوف شلون من اصبح البحر اسال تراب الطفوف شلون من اصبح البحر بحر من دم الأعاد رؤوسهم تمطر مطر من خارج ذيك الصفوف وصاح ناقوس الخطر يحسد ركاب الجنود منهما إلهم مفر يحسد ركاب الجنود منهما إلهم مفر هذا حماي الضعيف هذا فرس الصفوف هذا حماي الضعين هذا فرس الصفوف هذا شيال اللواء هذا غر العتوف هذا شيال اللواء هذا صنع العتوف صاغي يا جان أمير المؤمنين اكفياني أيال البنين اكفياني علي بعد عباس دگر آب سراب از سراب بعد عباس دگر آب سراب از سراب غیر از آن عشق در چشم رباب از رباب بنویسید که در حلقم عباس افتاد بنویسید که در حلقم عباس افتاد قطر اشکی شد و بر چادر زهرا افتاد قطر اشکی شد و
بر چادر زهرا افتاد
بعد عباس دگر آب سراب از سراب غیر از آن عشق که در چشم رباب از رباب بنویسید که در حلقم عباس افتاد قطر اشکی شد و چادر زهرا افتاد قطر اشکی دور زهرا افتاد چه بگویم که چه شد یا چه بر سر آمد چه بگویم که چه شد یا که چه بر سر آمد ناگهان رایحه چادر مادر آمد ناگهان رایحه چادر مادر آمد ساقیا جان امیر المؤمنین
السلام
عليك يا أبا عبد الله علیک یا عبد الله وعلى الارواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله ابدا ما بقي وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى السلام على زينب الكبرى بنت أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا أبا الفضل العباس ابن أمير المؤمنين اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك واكفنا يا قاضي الحاجات ويا كافي المهمات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الذنوب والخطيئات إنك رافع الدرجات إنك على كل شيء قدير
عزيزان برای همه دیوارا اجازه بدید آیه شریفه اما یه جور بخونم اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء همه با هم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا مجيب المضطر أجب المضطر بحق المضطر ونحن المضطرين بك يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله اللهم اشفي كل مريض ومريضة اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج خدا به عزت و جلالت قسمت میدهیم فرج نازنین آقا امام زمان تعجیل بفرما قلب نازنین محبوب مولا را از همه ما راضی و خوشنود بگردان خدایا اسامی ما را در دفتر ذاکرین آقا با عبدالله ثبت و ضبط بفرما ثوابی از این مجلس به ارواح پدران ما مادران ما زبن حقوق حق داران واصل و نائل بگردان خدایا مریضان جهان مریضان و مریضای منظور نظر از سایر لباس عافیت بر قامت همه آنها بپوشا خدایا در دنیا زیارت ائمه معصومین و در آخرت شفاعت همه آنها نصیب ما بگردان خدایا عاقبت همه ما ختم به خیر بگردان اخلاص عمل به همه ما عطا بفرما خدایا به روی ما را مریض گناهان ما را بریز حاجت حاجتمندان مخصوصا حضار عزیز و آنهایی که التماس دعا گفتن برآورده به خیر بگردان خدایا ما بین ما و ائمه معصومین آنی و لحظه جدایی مینداد به عزت و جلالت ما را مشمول دعاهای خیر آقا امام زمان قرار بده اللهم کل ولیک حجت ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. خدایا به عزت و جلالت قسمت میدهیم ثوابی از این مجلس به تمام عزیزان و اساتیدی که ما رو به مجلس آقا ابا عبدالله آشنا کردن به روح همشون انشاءالله ارسال بفرما. رحم الله من یقرأ الفاتحه مع الصلوات.